SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, time to rise and grind on this glorious Wednesday morning. We're ready to get after it over the next 3 hours right here on the Early Line. We got a lot of hot topics to hit. Major League Baseball, NFL action, so many topics. Down the stretch they come in baseball for those final playoff spots, the WNBA, and also maybe some quarterback challenges this weekend, who's in and who's out. But we'll start here. It is Wednesday. It's September 11, 2024. 23 years ago, an unspeakable tragedy happened here in the United States that affected us and around the world. And that's what we want to remember today. We will always remember the first responders and so many people that lost their lives here in that tragic event here in 2001. And if we can bring just a little bit of levity over the next 3 hours today, crack a smile, talk some sports, and have some fun, I think that will be our job. But on September 11th, we will always remember, Dubsy. I did want to bring that up, and we got 3 hours to let the people know that we are here, we're going to have a good time, and hopefully we can do that job.
Yeah, well said there, Donny. Very choice words indeed. It's a special day, special occasion. We certainly look to have a nice time over the next couple of hours. And, Donny, you know, it's always my favorite day of the week, catching up with yourself, and there is no shortage on tap as we move through the next couple. I tell you what, it is good to have football back, Donny. It is good to have football back, and we'll be jumping straight into it here on the Early Line.
It's Donnie, it's Dubsy. The next 3 hours, as Dubsy just said, we have you here. We have a lot of great topics to get to, a lot of fun to be had, and also the 7-7, which we start with the hottest topics across the sports landscape, which was Philadelphia last night. And maybe for other reasons, we're going to talk Major League Baseball in Philly. The Phillies won 9-4 over the Tampa Bay Rays, a 5-run lead here late. Because why? In the 8th inning, the Phillies bullpen handled their business. The Tampa Bay Rays bullpen did not. There were some interesting things happening. Players getting thrown out. Nick Castellanos upset. Bryce Harper leaving second base to confront the pitcher. But the Phillies got a big-time win. Now 87 wins on the season, Dubsy, the best in Major League Baseball.
Philly absolutely flying, sitting up top of that National League. We saw Kyle Schwarber set an MLB record with his 14th leadoff homer for the season. We saw Trey Turner with a big evening. I mean, Bryce Harper, I guess we could say almost with a home run before that one was overturned and brought back. So it really was an exciting night out there on the diamond over there in Philly. But another big win. Playoffs getting even quicker, fast approaching here, Donnie. So the Phillies flying an absolute sensational one there for your Tuesday night.
I mean, they'll take the win, but Ranger Suarez is one of those pitchers here that's going to be in that rotation in the playoffs. 5 1/3 innings pitch. He gave up 12 hits yesterday and 4 earned runs, but the Phillies' bats were too much for the Tampa Bay Rays as they get that victory 9-4. Let's go coast to coast out here and the West Coast last night. The Cubs 6, the Los Angeles Dodgers 3. I got to tell you, Dubsy, I had the under in this game when I saw the box score that it was 2-2 entering into the 8th inning. That should be a stone-cold under, but again, just like in the Phillies game, 5 runs scored in the top of the inning by the Chicago Cubs to pick up the victory over the Dodgers yesterday. And looking at this game, Imanaga had a great game. 7 innings pitched, 3 earned runs here for the Cubs. But Yamamoto, 4 innings pitched, 1 earned run coming back here. He is going to be a key ingredient, Dubs, down the stretch for those Los Angeles Dodgers. They didn't win last night, but Yamamoto back on the mound.
Yeah, a little concerning given this one up so late there for Dave Roberts, but that was the biggest, welcome attraction for the Dodgers. Yamamoto, $325 million worth of reasons why they need him to step up at this time of the year. I was concerned maybe there was a bit of rust. There was absolutely none of that. To fan out, he looked fantastic in his return there for LA. So they didn't get the win on Tuesday night, but certainly going to be buoyed by having Yamamoto back in that rotation.
Yes, it will be. And also, obviously, we know they're going to make the playoffs, but now you're jockeying for position with the Philadelphia Phillies as they took a step up. They won last night. The Dodgers lost. A couple weeks left in the season. We'll see who gets that number one overall seed. If we continue to talk about the playoffs here, Dubsy, how about a 12-0 win yesterday for the Atlanta Braves over the Washington Nationals to keep pace with the New York Mets? They're now in a de facto tie for that final wild card spot. If you had told me that there was a shutout for the Nationals, I would have told you as well. Lopez probably had a fantastic night on the mound for the Braves. 1 inning pitched, no earned runs, leaves with an injury that is going to get an MRI today. So big win for the Braves, maybe a big loss on the mound.
Yeah, more to come on this one. We should get news of that injury surfacing pretty early here on Wednesday, but certainly look to be that fourth guy in the rotation. Right now, they're holding that wild card spot. They're going to need everything in their favour. So fingers crossed, it's good news there for Braves fans. But yes, a big performance there on Tuesday night. Hopefully, it's not at a cost with Lopez exiting early in this one.
No, that could be damaging, but also it's nice to see that when your pitcher goes down, the offense sort of says, you know what, we'll handle it tonight, getting 12 runs. And also, shout out that Braves bullpen, which was spectacular yesterday, filling in for those final eight innings here in an easy victory. And Michael Harris, the second leadoff spot last night, Dubsy, have a 3 of 6, 2 home runs at that leadoff spot, really being that catalyst for the game. If we're taking a look at Major League Baseball, where you wish this rotation was in effect all season long and healthy, it's the Texas Rangers. You know who's coming back? It's Jacob deGrom. It's Max Scherzer. In time for a playoff run? No, but maybe getting some innings this year to sort of move forward to next year in 2025. It's a shame these superstars weren't healthy for the majority of the season, but how about this? DeGrom and Scherzer back on the mound here, Dubsy.
A couple of thoroughbreds, and as betters, we can watch for a couple of angles there going through the back end of the month, but certainly going to be a welcome return there for the Rangers. Scherzer and DeGrom, two of the best in the business, and they can still do it at a very high clip. So great to see them coming back there. I think the return set for Friday. So excited on that. Things a little too much, a little too late, though, if you ask me, Donnie.
Yeah, about seven and a half games back of that wild card spot. Probably not going to be able to make the playoffs, but maybe they can use this as a preparation spot for 2025. Talking about preparation, you know who's getting prepared to start again this week? Yeah, it's Justin Fields. As Russell Wilson struggling with that calf injury, missed week number one. Fields came in with the victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Looks like he's going to be the starter week number two this weekend as well.
What more do you want to see, Donnie? I mean, they got the win. Yep. They put up 18 points. Not a single touchdown. To say that Fields is the fix, I think that's a bit of a stretch. But Justin Fields looking like he will be that guy for week two. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers getting set for an awesome Sunday showdown going against the Denver Broncos. A return to Denver for Russell Wilson, but he may be holding the old clipboard watching as Justin Fields tries to do his best. But I tell you what, Donnie, they got to find a better solution than these two.
No, it's going to be interesting to play out because, yes, you like the fact that the Steelers won, Dubs, in week number one, but the Steelers didn't score an offensive touchdown. Now, say what you want. It's all about winning games. They were on the road as an underdog. You'll take that, but you really would have liked to see them score a touchdown, at least get a little bit more on offense. We'll see if they can do that this weekend. Talking about offense that you need, Christian McCaffrey, his status, uncertain versus the Vikings, but my goodness. Jordan Mason was absolutely incredible in week number one, so maybe you can skip a few games, but the question's going to be, when is Christian McCaffrey coming back? One of the best players in the NFL. They're going to need him, Dubs.
Yeah, they will, and they're going to need him at the business end of the season, so they really need to push the envelope here in week two. Probably not after seeing Jordan Mason in action there on Monday Night Football. Where has that been? He looked absolutely electric. I dare say Christian McCaffrey 2.0, but that is the best part about the 49ers, having one of the best rosters in the National Football League. There's no pressure to get CMC back on the field ASAP. I think maybe they hold him off into week three for week four. But this one sort of caught me off guard. I thought all things were trending to seeing him out there for Monday Night Football. But obviously, a couple of injuries certainly worth monitoring as we move through the season because he gets plenty of knocks in that backfield.
Yeah, we knew he probably was going to get 25 touches on opening night, battling that calf injury throughout training camp. It now turns into an Achilles tendonitis. We'll see where that goes. But also, shout out to people that picked the 49ers before the game, only to find out McCaffrey wasn't there, and they absolutely blew the doors off the New York Jets. If we take a look at three games last night in the WNBA, the favorites were the right side last night. The Lynx over the Dream by 12 points. You also take a look at the Liberty, easily winning by double digits over the Wings, and the Sun easily dispatched of the Sparks 86-66. Three really good teams beating three really bad teams last night, Dubsy.
Yeah, top three in the standings. And for all you basketball fans who play the W on the nightly, their playoffs fast approaching on the 22nd of September. And if we start this evening, that'd be 1, 2, and 3. The Liberty, Winx, and the Sun all getting some massive victories on Tuesday night. Brianna Stewart putting up 27 for the Liberty. That was the highlight for me out of the W, Donnie.
As they come down the stretch, the playoffs just about here. Who's going to win that title? We'll certainly find out shortly. But also, flip it back over to the NFL. It's a Wednesday. We're going to talk some football, including Justin Fields and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's the Early Line right here on the grid. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one in full effect right here for the early line, Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Dubs Anderson, Donnie Wrightside here breaking down what we think is going to happen this weekend. But also, if we're taking a look at Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're 1-0. Everybody else in that division, Dubsy, 0-1. They picked up the victory on the road as an underdog against the Atlanta Falcons. But now we're taking a look at this weekend. Who's actually going to start? Is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be Russell Wilson? Well, yesterday, beat reporter Brooke Pryor tweeted out, Mike Tomlin is preparing Justin Fields to start versus Denver. Says Russell Wilson, quote, feels better today than he did over the weekend. And Tomlin said they'll start with his preparation and also participation, quality of participation, and then analyze if he can protect himself and be productive. Then they'll, quote, ponder his inclusion. Nice little word salad over there from Mr. Mike Tomlin. But they did get the victory. The offense didn't look great, but they didn't turn the football over. It feels like a lot of Steelers games this year are probably going to go that way. Just make enough plays to win the game, which they did, Dubsy, on opening day.
They're so gritty, Donnie, and I feel like this is the DNA for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers that we've seen over the last couple of years. I keep saying it's going to catch up to them. They just do not have the talent in key positions to get him, you know, up there with some of the key contenders. And what we saw in week one, Justin Fields, I mean, it was okay. It's tough to really take confidence from that showing, but what have we got in Russell Wilson if he is set for a healthy return? Well, it'd be the return to the Denver Broncos saying, hey, Sean Payton, remember me. I would love to see this matchup. I don't think it is going to happen, but I guess the more concerning part, you highlighted it before going to break there, Donnie, is not a single offensive touchdown. They really couldn't get things going in the right direction. We know how Justin Fields is going to play and try and get them across the advantage line. He's got the wheels. He gets down the backfield, but he takes plenty of big shots. It is not a sustainable way for the Steelers to stay in games. What I do take away from week one is that the Falcons are bad. The Falcons are not great at this early point of the season. So for the Pittsburgh Steelers, what's going to give them the best chance in week two? I would say it's going to be Justin Fields. Danger Russ likely return maybe next week into week four there. But for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I am that guy, Donnie. Eventually, all things are going to catch up, and this is going to be a really tough battle on Sunday, laying 3 points going on the road.
Yeah, and also, you knew Russell Wilson wanted to start that football game to sort of get back at the Denver Broncos, but you have to do what's best for your football team. And anybody that knows a calf injury that you're struggling with and you're a mobile quarterback, you really need that calf to be 100%. And they got by last week, which is the main ingredient. If we are taking a look here, Dubsy, at the Pittsburgh Steelers' outlook for the season, team win total 8.5, so you're still looking at Mike Tomlin having another winning season if they can get to that 9-win plateau. And it helps because the odds makers thought that game number one, the Atlanta Falcons would win because they were favored. If we look at the playoffs now, it's a plus 210 price. The AFC North title, plus 470, which sort of gives me a little bit of a laugh because they're the only team with a victory in the AFC North right now, but still that far back. The AFC title, 40-1, and then the Super Bowl title, 100-1. Mike Tomlin, it's hard to say. Is it a championship team? It's probably not. Are they probably going to win be 500 or better? That's what he absolutely does. And if you saw any indicator there on Sunday, they'll do whatever it takes to win. Have a bone-crushing defense, have a quarterback that makes just enough plays to win, but you're not going to be able to win those big games, Dubsy, as we said, unless you score offensive touchdowns. I like the fact that Justin Fields is going to start week number two, and maybe he doesn't feel like, you know what? If I have that same game plan in week number one, I might be able to win in week number two. Why? Because Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos really struggled on offense as well. Leaning on defense early, there's a good chance the Pittsburgh Steelers, without Russell Wilson, will be 2-0 to start the season.
Yeah, I guess it's a favorable, you know, schedule to start. If they can get through the Broncos, they got the Chargers after that. I mean, Chargers look good in week one, but we really don't have the full measuring stick. And then it'll be the Colts to follow. And you take a look at the AFC North. I mean, a couple of teams that really underwhelm. I thought the Ravens were pretty strong Thursday night, you know, just getting bested out by that toe tap. But the Bengals, they looked really ordinary. And for the Cleveland Browns, I mean, what's going on up there with Deshaun Watson? So for the Pittsburgh Steelers, we know exactly what we're going to get. It is a rock fight every single week you take on a Mike Tomlin-led team. So they're going to be a very tough out, whether it's Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. You're never going to expect plenty of points in a high-octane kind of shootout. They want to get you into the arm wrestle. And for Justin Fields, what's working in his favor is he's playing with house money. He knows that there's not a lot of hype or expectation around his quarterback play. So if they can get a bit of momentum, rattle off a couple of wins, maybe Mike Tomlin sits back and says, hey, let's leave the salty vet Russell Wilson on the sidelines and let's see if Justin Fields can maybe take another forward step and show us a bit more improvement. Maybe he's the guy to keep chalking off a couple of tough outs.
Yeah, but a lot of bootlegs left and right last weekend for Justin Fields. Dump off passes, made a couple plays when he had to George Pickens on the outside, but primarily they leaned on the running game and they leaned on their defense and came away with a victory in Atlanta. We'll see if they can do that this weekend. So we do set the table for this weekend's games, 4:25. That's Pittsburgh and Denver. Fields versus Knicks. Looks like that is going to be the quarterback matchup. If we look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, they open this number, Dubsy, as a 2.5-point favorite towards the Steelers. Now they're sitting at a 3. If we look at the total here, how about this? Opened at 40.5 and is now plummeted down to the 36.5, because you look at the two offenses, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos, weren't all that impressive last week. I can see it. A mid-30s game, yeah, it probably should stay under this weekend as well.
Yeah, I mean, don't see that low total and be scared off by that one, bettors. Yeah. It really will be a rock fight. And, you know, for the Denver Broncos, they're going to have to be a lot better. Bo Nix looked great in the preseason, but it's funny how everything changes once it gets a little faster come week one of the regular season. I expect to see a lot of improvement from the Denver Broncos. I think they'll try to get that run game going a little more, and that could potentially take a bit more pressure off Bo Nix. I'm still very bullish, and I think there's always a great chance to see so much improvement from week one into week two into week three there. So for the Denver Broncos, they're looking for a bounce back. It's going to be in their ballpark. I think they'll like that fact. And of course, they're going to be getting ready for a big showdown. Whether Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback or he's on the sidelines, it is going to be a raucous atmosphere out there at Mile High.
It's so interesting to watch this play out, too, because we know how the offseason went for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and certainly through the preseason. They wanted, and maybe just Mike Tomlin wanted, the starting quarterback all along to be Russell Wilson. They wanted him to start in the preseason. They wanted him to start game number one. Weren't able to do so. It'll be very interesting to me, Dubsy, if we watch game number two and a similar thing plays out. Not a lot of offense for Pittsburgh, but they still win football games, which is the key. How quickly they do go back to Russell Wilson. Because we know, as I said, Tomlin wants him to be the starter. And if we're not seeing an electric offenseman still winning, it's going to be hard to take Justin Fields out. And what happens if Justin Fields plays great football this weekend on the road against the Denver Broncos? So many questions in the Steel City to be determined here. But we're going to keep it in the NFL. More hot topics coming up next. The Dial right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More hot topics, more injuries to take a look at the NFL. And when do we not look at that practice report and say, could something be up? Last week, we expected Christian McCaffrey to take the snaps opening night versus the New York Jets. We expected him to perform well. The question was, how many snaps would he actually take? The answer, Dubs, was exactly zero. And now we don't know when Christian McCaffrey is coming back here due to Achilles tendonitis, which Kyle Shanahan brought up yesterday. Now, the one good thing you can say is if maybe one of the best players in the league is not going to be available for a couple weeks, is have your backup running back, Jordan Mason, go 28 carries, 147 yards, and score a touchdown in your decimation of a very good New York Jets defense, 32-19. So let's start there. How surprised were you, Dubsy? Getting ready for that football game, and all of a sudden, every big beat reporter in the NFL is going, you know what? Inactive reports, here comes Christian McCaffrey. He's not playing.
Donnie, you mentioned two running backs there for the 49ers, Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason. I had one of them as my number one pick going into this year's draft for my fantasy football lineup, and I started him, and he didn't play CMC. I mean, this was an absolute shock for mine. We knew that he was battling injury going through the preseason leading in to week one, but we didn't know he was going to be a game-time scratch there. But hey, I mean, every loss is someone else's opportunity. So Jordan Mason, he steps up and gets it done. But Jordan Mason telling the media after that game that he actually knew about starting on Friday night, but we didn't. So that was a tough one for me to swallow. But for the 49ers, look, this is a really, you know, sensitive injury for Christian McCaffrey, especially when you're expecting so much production. But it's early in the season. And for Kyle Shanahan, if they didn't know what they've got in Jordan Mason, well, now you know. So why would you have that pressure of trying to rush Christian McCaffrey back for week two going against the Vikings. So certainly one thing to note and monitor as we move through a very long and treacherous season here for San Francisco is just keeping eyes on Christian McCaffrey. Do we see a bit of a drop off in that production, in that role out of the backfield? I think we likely will, maybe, you know, getting a bit of a pitch count, if you will, once he does get back in the mix there. But no surprises. I don't expect to see him out there in week two, unless not a full capacity as well, especially after what a showing Jordan Mason put together there for Monday Night Football.
Yeah, there would have been panic. Let's just say Jordan Mason got the ball 15 times and gained 16 yards. Oh, no, the sky is falling. We lost to the Jets, but you blew the Jets out. Mason was fantastic, which leaves you extra time to get him ready. If you remember at the end of the regular season last year, he had that calf injury, Christian McCaffrey. Over the summer, had another calf injury. Now Achilles tendonitis. Things aren't looking great there, but again, when you're winning football games, you can afford to rest your better players, as long as what, Dubsy? You keep winning football games. We'll see if they can do that against Minnesota. Moving on to other topics around the NFL, and we broke this news right on the set of Pro Football Today. Tyreek Hill being detained by police officers just a few hours before his game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The videos did come out here. There was escalation on both sides here, but nobody got hurt was the big issue here. But now Tyreek Hill says, you know what? That guy that escalated, I want him fired. It'll be interesting to see what the fallout is going to be from this. But the good part about it is nobody was injured. Tyreek Hill was able to play in that football game, played well. The Miami Dolphins won, and we'll see what this leads to, Dubsy.
Yeah, always, you know, a sensitive topic there, but I guess it was a positive outcome, and we still got to see Tyreek Hill in the mix there on Sunday afternoon. I tell you what, there was no slowing down the cheater. You wouldn't know that he was detained a couple of hours prior to kickoff. Still goes for more than 100 receiving yards. And for that offense, they're going to need Tyreek Hill back in the mix for Thursday night football. They were a little sluggish out the gates, but for the cheater, he plays it in a fast way out in the gridiron. It sounds like he also likes to drive the whip at a fast pace as well. But yeah, thankfully, nothing escalated too far there. And it's tough for us to see, Johnny, because we get, you know, the 30 seconds, the 60 seconds of that viral clip, yep. And it's really tough to know what actually led up to that situation. But for Tyreek Hill, didn't slow him down there on Sunday, and expect to see the same again coming up for Thursday.
Yeah, it was interesting all the way, like the whole Scottie Scheffler thing at the major championship that he ran into issues. Now Tyreek Hill, and glad that it didn't escalate in a situation where these guys couldn't play the respective games. You let the fallout happen behind the scenes, and we'll see certainly where that goes. But also, if you saw that game on Sunday, what an interesting thing. The Miami Dolphins ended up winning that football game. But did you guys know, didn't watch it all the way through, a 17-7 game, which Jacksonville had the lead late third quarter. Travis Etienne looked like he was going to score the touchdown to get them to go up 24-7. Fumbles the football on the goal line. The Miami Dolphins recover, and then Tyreek Hill, the very next play, an 80-yard touchdown pass by Tua Tagovailoa, which helped turn that momentum and give them the victory here. Crazy times in the NFL, and it's only week one. We got 18 weeks of this, 17 games plus playoffs all the way through to Super Bowl, and we're already getting into some interesting topics nonetheless. Now, Major League Baseball was happening last night. We're going to dip into that. Check out the wild card positioning here. Who played well? Who didn't? Who was getting thrown at last night? Like Nick Castellanos. It's the early line on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM Channel 159. Stubbs and Donnie, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the early line. Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Brightside. Time to turn it to the Diamond. It was a big Tuesday evening in the world of baseball, and it was the Diamondbacks dealing Arizona, get the win 6-0. They blanked the Rangers in a dominant performance, and they're backed up by Zach Gallen out there on the hill. He fans out 7, and was never in doubt for this one. The Diamondbacks still trying to make that push towards October, Donnie.
Yeah, and I think they will be able to make that push and make it into the playoffs, and we'll get to the wild card standing in just a moment. Let's take away from what we saw yesterday. Texas Rangers probably not going to the playoffs now. 7.5 games back here in the wild card race. They're now 70-75, and yesterday is one of those microcosms where you say to yourself, Zach Gallen is always, it seems like, Dubsy, sensational at home when he's on the mound. 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 earned runs, 7 strikeouts yesterday in a dominating performance. And the Texas Rangers, only 3 total hits in that game. But the Arizona Diamondbacks, one of the better offenses in baseball that you trust, 6 runs scored yesterday and 10 hits. And also, you're looking at who they went up against. Nathan Eovaldi is a solid pitcher. He drops to 11-8 on the season, ERA around that 3.5 range, but 5 innings pitched, 7 hits, hits and four earned runs got to him early. Even if we're looking at runners in scoring position, the Diamondbacks dubs, only 1 of 9 here. So this game could have even been worse than the 6-0. But if we're looking from a Rangers perspective, it's basically hung up for the season. We started a 7-7 today and told you that they're getting some of their older, aging, dominant pitchers back, hopefully for next year, can be in rhythm in Max Scherzer and Jacob DeGrom. Not going to help them this year, and also the Diamondbacks now staying a couple games ahead of the teams chasing them down, which are the New York Mets and also the Atlanta Braves. Diamondbacks needed that game last night, Dubsy, and they got it.
Yeah, and a couple of other teams right in the playoff hunt. Seattle Mariners, they were at home to the San Diego Padres, and the Padres with a special performance from the one and only Manny Machado with a two-run homer here, Donnie. He takes the tally to 164 in a Padres uniform. So I guess a franchise best. It was only fitting that Yu Darvish backed up that offense to get him the win 7-3.
Yeah, big time there. And also, you see that score, 7-3 in Seattle. That's a rarity here. That's one of the ballparks here that you take a look at and say, I don't know if I want to go over, not just because the pitching matchups or even the hitting matchups here, is that ballpark is always tough to score runs in the true pitcher's park. But the Padres got 7 of those yesterday, as you talked about. Manny Machado, 2 of 5 yesterday, 4 RBI, including that home run, hitting .276 on the season. Luis Arraez at that leadoff spot, 3 for 5 yesterday, raising his average to .318. But the bigger product here was Yu Darvish, improving to 5-3, that extended stretch on the IL, ERA around 3.52, and you take a look at yesterday, 5 innings pitched, did scatter those 7 hits, only giving up 2 earned runs. If you can get Yu Darvish back to what we thought he could possibly be before the injury, that is a massive help for the Padres, as I do believe they are going to make the playoffs, and that if they can set that top of the rotation here with that dominant bullpen and also a solid 1-3 line, they're going to be a tough team to be knocked out in the playoffs if they do get there. Solid win. The Padres now 82 victories on the year. Now, the Mariners only 1 game over .500, falling back once again in that AL West. I don't think you're going to be able to overtake the Houston Astros here, but a good win for the Padres. Won that one easily, but the bigger question is here, can we continue to see solid performances out of Yu Darvish?
Yeah, got to keep it hot. Need that consistency at the pointy end of the season. It was a showdown in the National League East. We saw the Atlanta Braves taking on the Nationals over there in Washington. It was the Braves getting the win here, Donnie, 12-0. So they blanked them. But the biggest takeaway, Ronald Lopez leaving this game with right shoulder tightness after just throwing 25 pitches, 16 of those being for strikes.
Yeah, Ronaldo Lopez says he's going to be okay, but they're still going to do a precautionary MRI today. And this is the second time in what, Dubsy, a couple weeks that he's had issues, whether it be an elbow, forearm, or now shoulder. He only goes 1 inning yesterday, which could have been disastrous and could have stretched out your bullpen and maybe cost you a game in the standings, which you can't afford now going up against the New York Mets for that final wild card spot. But they won that one easily. 12-0 yesterday, 15 hits banged out by the Atlanta Braves, which also the catalyst there, Michael Harris II in that leadoff spot, 3 of 6 yesterday with 2 home runs, including 2 RBIs there on those shots. Liked what I saw because that's resiliency. That's what you need, and that's basically been the Braves all along this season. Player after player, injury versus injury, next man up in that lineup, and they're tied now with the New York Mets here in that wild card race. And you saw the bullpen come through. Chavez, 3 innings, no earned runs. Brebbia, 3 innings, no earned runs. Jackson, 2 innings, no earned runs. You needed that last night because if you could have had a loss, you dropped that back a game in the standings. But more importantly, now you're worried about your bullpen moving forward. If you're going to have to use your bullpen, you better get that victory. And the Braves did that yesterday.
Yeah, staying in the division, let's jump across to the Mets. They were on the road up in Toronto taking on the Blue Jays. And I'll put the hand up in this one, Donnie. I was all about the Mets and Peterson going in here. I thought the offense had really found stride. I thought we had a strong arm supporting him. But they never showed up for this one. It was Chris Bassitt on the hill there for the Blue Jays. He fans 8, and they never were really tested. They got off to 5-1 lead going through the first 3 and carried it across the line.
Yeah, you saw the Mets take that 1-0 lead in the first inning. Like, okay, good start here. Let's keep pace. But that wasn't going to be the case. A 6-2 final. And take a look at this, too. You look at the lineup here for the Toronto Blue Jays. They're not making the playoffs. 6 runs and 12 hits. But take a look at this. Left 9 batters on base, but also 6 of 18 with runners in scoring position. So there was traffic all night long for the Toronto Blue Jays on the base pass. But if you are looking at Peterson, you're right. He was 9-1 entering into that game, took the loss, now drops to 9-2. 4 1/3 innings pitched, 8 hits given up, 5 runs, 4 of those earned here. ERA climbs a bit, but still below 3. He's been fantastic for them, and part of that resurgence while you're looking for the Mets who might be able to do damage in the playoffs. If you look at that Mets lineup, Francisco Lindor has had a sensational year. Only 1-4 batting average drops down to 269. But how about Pete Alonso in the middle of that lineup? 0-3 drops his average to 239. Sometimes it's the ebbs and flows, Dubsy, of the Major League Baseball season where you stay hot for a period of time. You know that's going to end. Now you're deadlocked here with the Atlanta Braves for that final wild card spot. You saw yesterday the Braves gelled, won 12-0, even though their pitcher got knocked out in the first inning. The Mets weren't able to come away with the victory against the Toronto Blue Jays team. That's not going anywhere here the rest of this season.
And, Tony, how important is that going to be on the betting side of things, strength of schedule coming in to October? Yeah. The Braves and the Mets now locked for that wild card spot in the National League. You look at the Mets, aside from yesterday, they've been playing some really good baseball, 8-2 through their last 10, so plenty of momentum right alongside the Phillies there out of the National League from what we have seen over the last couple of weeks. But on the betting side of things, how imperative is it before we lock in those wagers that we're now looking at the series remaining, because there's only 3 or 4 coming into the house?
Yeah, you take a look and say the New York Mets are going to play the Braves and the Philadelphia Phillies a few times here down the stretch. So it's going to be up to them, like we let's say, if they want to make the playoffs, which is a good thing. But also, you're right. I always talk about post-All-Star break, post-trade deadline here, Dubsy. It's the haves and the have-nots. If you're leaving it up to saying, oh, I really hope the Washington Nationals can knock off, let's just say, the Atlanta Braves or the New York Mets, that's a you problem at that point. If you would have won your games early in the season, you wouldn't have to scoreboard watch. You would be in the lead at this point. So it's going to be up to the New York Mets and the Braves down the stretch to say, you know what? Handle your business on the field. Everything else will take care of itself. But you're right about that. Sometimes it is who you play. Do you want to play a team fighting for a playoff spot over the final 2 weeks of the season? Or would you rather have a team that goes, you know what? We're going to bring up some of the young kids to play here late September to see what we have for next year. Sometimes it's the luck of the draw. But again, if you won more games in April, May, June, and July, you wouldn't have to worry about who you play down the stretch. But it's going to be fun talking about these teams on a night-to-night basis, because what's better than a wild card spot up for grabs, two teams in the NL East tied between the Mets and the Braves, where every single game matters. And yesterday, the Mets took the loss. Yesterday, the Braves got the win. Now they're tied up in the standings. And this is going to be a good one to watch, Dubsy, all the way through.
Exciting time of year for you baseball fans. And now the Yankees on top of the AL, the Phillies flying in that National League. And maybe it's the Brewers still sneaking under the radar that we can find a bit of a price. You highlighted, Donnie, everything changes since the All-Star break, notably with some of these rookie markets as well. I know we're going to jump into a little further in the year, but Jackson Merrill, he has been absolutely fantastic down there for San Diego. So 15 games coming up on tap here this afternoon. We'll jump in with a couple of early look-aheads as well there. But the playoff push continues. It looks to be a loaded slate again for Happy Hunt Day on a Wednesday afternoon. We're going to sneak in a quick timeout, but don't go anywhere. The baseball talk continues on the other side here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into the Early Line. The baseball continues here on a Wednesday. I'm Dubs Anderson alongside Donnie Wrightside, and we're taking it out to New York. It was all about the Kansas City Royals there on Tuesday. 5-0 with a big victory off the back of a very strong arm. Seth Lugo absolutely dominated the Yankees lineup for his 16th victory as the Royals get the chocolates.
Yeah, the first thing I want to say is, what happened, New York Yankees, in there? Come on, at home, 3 total hits, no runs here. You're in a fight for your life in the AL East against the Baltimore Orioles, but you do have to give some respect for the Royals, who are trying to make the playoffs, and I do believe we'll make it here. Seth Lugo, Dubs, was sensational to start this season, leaking a little bit oil as we got to July and August, but if you're talking about a veteran pitcher that says, you know what, guys, I'm in playoff form. We're on the road against a quality opponent. I got your back. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no earned runs, no walks, 10 strikeouts, Dubsy, and now his ERA sits at a 2.94. On the opposite side, Stroman came into this 10-7. Now, do you expect better things out of Marcus Stroman? You probably do. But if he's just one of those pitchers that can be your three or four and give you quality starts, that will be okay. And technically, he did give you a quality start, which is five innings pitched and three earned runs. That should be enough to keep you in the ballgame. But Lugo was absolutely outstanding. And just to tell you how crazy this game was, where basically that Yankees lineup didn't show up, they didn't have a runner, Dubsy, in scoring position last night. Nobody got to second base. Incredible performance by the Royals last night. You take a look at the first three batters, Pham RBI, Witt RBI, Perez 2 RBI, and away you go. Great win for the Royals. Where were you at last night, Yankees? I don't know.
Royals could be a team to watch as that playoff push continues, heats up towards October. Plenty of firepower. And that was on full display out there in the Bronx last night. All right, let's bring it out to the West Coast. It was the Dodgers at home taking on the Cubbies. I was watching along with this one, Donnie. Had a couple of great bets in the mix until they weren't great bets. The Cubs get the win 6-3. They put up five in the eighth inning and a couple of very strong arms here. Imanaga got the start for the Cubbies. Yamamoto made his return for Dave Roberts. Fanning eight through four innings pitched, but it wasn't enough to get the Dodgers home there on Tuesday.
Couple guys with multiple hits last night, too, in the Chicago Cubs lineup. You had Seiya Suzuki, 3-5. You also had Isak Paredes, 2-5. Then you had Horner, 3-4. And Pete Armstrong, 2-4. So you had some guys in the bottom of that order doing some damage, which is great to see. Now, the Chicago Cubs, 75-70. Technically, yes, they are still in the playoff race a couple games back of the Braves and Mets. But winning these type of ball games here is going to go a long way. The Los Angeles Dodgers, who have an interesting season overall, started out very good before the All-Star break, got swept by the Philadelphia Phillies, and it looked like the Philadelphia Phillies had a six-game lead over the Dodgers for that number one overall seed, only for the Dodgers to play great baseball, the Phillies not to play so well, and the Dodgers overtook the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, the Phillies have a one-game lead on the Dodgers due to the Phillies winning last night and the Dodgers losing. But also, you have to look big picture, Dubsy, right? Because in Major League Baseball, you can't win any game, every game. I understand that, even though you want to. But if you take a look at Yamamoto on the mound, four innings pitched, one earned run. But here's the key. Eight strikeouts over those four innings here. If you can build his stamina enough to get him healthy for the playoffs where he can go 5-6 innings, that is massive for the Dodgers. You actually don't care about the final score yesterday. Shota Imanaga improved to 13-3 for the Cubs. His ERA right around 3, and he went 7 innings and gave up 3 earned runs. The bullpen imploded for the Dodgers, but I think if you wake up as a Dodger fan, your takeaway in this game wasn't the loss, wasn't the bullpen, it was Yamamoto. Can he get back to what we expect him to be? And that could be huge for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And it was a great night for Major League Baseball here as well, Donnie, having that that Japanese flavor coming in to this one. You know, yeah. It was Yamamoto and Ohtani for the Dodgers, Suzuki and Imanaga, and it really is the global game. So well done to Major League Baseball trying to grow it beyond beyond here in North America. So we got to see plenty of superstars in the mix. 6-3, Cubbies get it done over the Dodgers, but a welcome return there for Yamamoto in LA. All right, let's keep it with the National League. It was the Phillies, and fists were absolutely flying. They get the win 9-4 over the Tampa Bay Rays, and I felt like this game had a bit of everything. But well done to Kyle Schwarber, setting an MLB record there with his 14th leadoff homer for the season.
I'll tell you what's crazy about that, too, because old school baseball, which basically goes back 10 years here, like, he shouldn't be a leadoff batter, Kyle Schwarber. Kyle Schwarber should be hitting, what, fourth or fifth in the lineup as a cleanup guy because of the power. But I tell you, if you are a pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, what is better? I know they were at home last night, but let's just say you're on the road, Schwarber's up. Boom, 454-foot Schwarbaum to start that game. That's fantastic here. And it hasn't hurt the Phillies. He's been a great leadoff batter, hitting 251. Typically, we figure out Schwarber, 215, 220, 225. He's been very good and obviously walks a lot, but that power to start a ball game certainly is impressive. The Phillies needed that victory. And also, I thought you were going to get a better pitching performance out of Ranger Suarez, who's been great, Dubsy, at home throughout this season for the Phillies. Now, he has had some injuries as of late. When 5 1/3 innings pitched, gave up 4 earned runs. Obviously, that's not good enough, but the more alarming thing is here, only 2 strikeout stubs and 12 hits he gave up. If you said Ranger Suarez was going to start and pitch into the sixth inning but give up 12 hits, I would have said the Tampa Bay Rays would have run away in an easy landslide, but that wasn't the case. The Phillies' bullpen was the star last night, not Tampa Bay. 5 runs scored in the bottom of the 8th inning, which included a lot of guys doing damage and a pitcher getting upset and hitting Nick Castellanos. The bench is clear. The bullpen comes out there. Bryce Harper leaves second base, confronts the pitcher. Could have been a Donnybrook out there, but the Philadelphia Phillies got that victory. Big for the East standings, but more importantly, for the NL standings, as the Phillies now, Dubsy, have a 1-game lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers for that almighty number 1 overall seed.
And Donnie, what do you make of the Phillies' chances? It certainly looks like the pitching staff has improved from what we've seen last year, so that's a green light. Is it going to come down to consistency of that offense? I know they left in sour fashion to finish off last season. Is that going to be the make or break for them going into October?
Yeah, a couple of guys banged up too, because you're hoping to get Alec Bohm back sooner than later. And same thing with JT Realmuto. So you're forward to fighting with that lineup last night that's not all there, but still getting 9 runs. We always know, Dubsy, what's the key ingredient in playoff baseball? It's your number 1 and your number 2 starting pitchers. That's Zach Wheeler. That's Aaron Nola. If they're healthy to start the playoffs, the Phillies probably have a decided advantage just about over every single Major League Baseball team. And if that bullpen can hold up, which has been pretty good this season, that bodes well, Dubsy, for a Phillies playoff run in Red October here in the city of Philadelphia.
The old Phillies in a Donnybrook. I love that one. Donnie Wrightside, yep, Throwing out the Donnybrook. I'm going to have to use that in my repertoire. Don't go anywhere. We've taken a quick commercial, but the fun continues on the other side here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All this baseball, and we're not even at the playoffs yet. We got about 3 weeks to go in the regular season, and a lot is going to be determined. The wild card races in the AL, probably not all that exciting. In the NL, it's going to be great to watch down the stretch. NL East counterparts, the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets battling for that final spot. Maybe the Cubs here, Dubsy, can sneak into it, but it's always all eyes on the prize, and numbers haven't changed all that much. The Dodgers are the favorite to win the World Series, followed by the Philadelphia Phillies, which I think makes some sense. The two best teams in baseball to me, the Dodgers and the Phillies, followed by the Yankees and the Orioles. Those two teams still battling who's going to win and have that supremacy in the AL East, followed by the Astros, Guardians, Padres, Twins, Brewers, and Braves. So let's just start here. I found it interesting all season long. The Dodgers at a 3-1 price, the Phillies at a plus 480. I do think these are both two of the best teams in baseball, which just happen to reside in the NL. Let me ask you this question. The number 1 overall seed, the Phillies, currently have a 1-game lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Does it change your opinion on the Dodgers, Dubsy, if they don't get that number 1 overall seed? Or you say, no, it's just what it is. They'll have the number 2 seed. Both of these teams will get byes, and I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about it, Donnie. I guess I'm more worried about the inconsistency, whether they get that top spot, that 1 seed, or not. It's more, some of the starting arms, the rotation, they're going to have to get healthy. They're going to have to try to find a bit of momentum. We saw Yamamoto make his return there on Tuesday night. Dave Roberts absolutely going to love what he saw there from the star race. But for the Dodgers sitting at the shortest price at plus 300, I think that's a little short. I think the Phillies are playing some really good baseball at plus 480 in the pinstripes there at 5-1. Donnie, I feel like I wish I could go back in time. You know, we spend months talking about some of the futures tickets in Major League Baseball. They play 162 games, and now still getting the same numbers as what we started with. You know, the Dodgers at plus 300, you're getting a better number than what the Yankees were sitting there. So if you do like their chances, now's the time to jump in. But no, I wouldn't be deterred for the Dodgers if they don't get that one seed. They're still going to have to go through the Supremos in the National League. But more about that consistency and trying to find a bit of momentum. I feel like we take a couple of steps forward and then we take one back. A couple of steps forward and then we take one back. The offense just goes missing at times. Otani can only do so much. There's question marks. Hernandez, Mookie's been seen and well, Freddie Freeman. So no, it wouldn't be too turned off if they weren't to grab that one seed. But I want to see a bit more from between now and getting it into the house there at October at plus 300. That is a really short price for a team that's loaded with superstars, but also loaded with a couple of blemishes.
Yeah, and the questions about right now, right? I think there's more questions with the Dodgers than the Phillies, and as always, those questions come up in the starting rotation to see how that rotation actually will be in come October. But if we're all looking at the teams in the 3 and 4 spots here, and technically, the Astros are tied with the Orioles, and you say, like, wow, how could that be? You have to understand how the playoff works here and why these odds are here. And we just talked about if the Philadelphia Phillies get that number one overall seed and have the home field advantage in Philadelphia, that could make a difference. But also take a look at the Yankees and the Orioles. The Yankees are a 5-1 price to win the World Series. The Orioles at an 8-1. The reason why it's decided right now at a $3 price is you're looking right now in the standings. Even though it's only a half game, the Yankees still have the lead here in the AL East. If they win, then they're going to be able to probably get that bye, and that's going to help them where then the Orioles would have to go on the road, which is exactly why, Dubsy, there's an 8-1 price on the Orioles and the Astros. The Astros look like they're going to win their division, which would give them home field advantage in round number one. That's a key ingredient here. But let's have some fun down the list. The Guardians 15-1, the Padres 16-1, Twins 21-1, and then the Brewers and the Braves both at 22-1. If I had to give you a team, Guardians, Padres, Twins, Brewers, or Braves, who do you think could do more damage in the playoffs and at those prices?
I think it's the Padres at 16-1. They're absolutely stacked. Manny Machado, he's leading the way. Fernando Tatis Jr., he's looked very strong since coming back, and some of the arms are starting to step up. It's really tough going down into San Diego, so I think they're going to have a nice little run going into October. So as the price play, who could rattle some of the big contenders in the majors? I think San Diego playing some really nice baseball, 6-4 through the last 10. I think they find a bit of momentum over the next couple of weeks here. So that'd be the price play if you're looking to play against the short numbers.
Yeah, I think also it's interesting, like the Brewers. The Brewers always seem to be Dubsy get left out of the equation because you have to understand, just like the Astros, if you're not thinking of them like long-term, like I don't know if they can win the World Series, but they're going to be placed in a good spot because, again, when you win the division, the first round is in your building regardless, and that's going to be a big number moving forward. So if you say, I don't know if the Brewers can win the World Series per se, but I think they're going to win a series or two, you can turn that 22-1 price once they get to the playoffs into some cold, hard cash in your back pocket. These numbers, they're going to change on a day-to-day basis. It's our job here at the Sports Grid Network to keep you involved and updated here when those changes happen. Now, talking about another change, hour one to hour number two. Let's get back to the NFL, baby. That's where we want to be, right here on the early line. We'll be right back.